it's awesome to be in a place where we can just sit back and relax and let God move. And I'm amazed. I mean, you know, I shouldn't be amazed. God is amazing. But I'm amazed at how he moves in different ones. And this is the way the body's supposed to work. You know, we had a lot of comments about before we got here about we have a tendency to want to put God in a box. And we want to keep him in a form. But whenever he can move in his own power, his own strength, his own might, oh my God, he just, and you know what? He's always lifted up. And whenever he's lifted up, everything else that we begin to look with our natural eyes just is minimized to nothing. It really is not a concern. We emphasize it so much in this life. All the things that we see with our natural eyes, and it's all a trick of the enemy to get our eyes off of him. Because when we got our eyes on him, listen, everything is possible. We can run through a troop. We can leap over a wall. We can do anything with God's might. And I thought about this scripture came to me. Just really glad to be here. And even if it's just a few of us here, I know there's plenty watching. And but man, God's with us. Do you know that? I believe to me, he's just reassuring us tonight that, hey, don't get excited. I thought about that song. He is still on the throne. And he's with us. He's alive and well. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're going to get through this. Praise God. And we're going to do it by doing like Hebrews 12, I believe, says. And that is keeping our eyes looking to Jesus. But I wanted to read this one scripture came to me here. And let me just read a few scriptures. And this is in Hebrews 12. I'll begin in verse 22. And, you know, we have a tendency to look at things as being something that has to do with somebody else. We need to take the God's word and let it mean for us. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be real to us that we're actually, what it's reading, what it's telling us is for us. It's not just talking about the person down the pew. We need to claim his promises ourselves. That's where our victory's at, is claiming his promises. So anyways, he says, no, he's talking about, first of all, up here, that we haven't come to a physical mountain like they were back there, where if even an animal touched it, they would stone it to death. So it says, no, in verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion. This is where we're at today. We don't have to wait till we get to the other side. This is where we are at today. It's in a realm that we can't see with our natural eyes, but it's real. Says, we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Whether you see them or not, there's countless thousands of angels here protecting us as we're meeting here right together here. You know, but let me read them, getting ahead of myself. We've come to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. Praise God. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself. You know, God is in our midst here. Amen. Who is the judge over all things? You have come to the spirits of righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus. He is right here with us now, present tense. The one who mediates, praise God, for the new covenant between God and us, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. This is what he's doing now. Now, I believe. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. But listen to what he says. Since we, you and me, praise God, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Beloved, we are part of an unshakable kingdom. Amen. It's eternal. It's a promise. It's a spiritual kingdom. But we are just as much a part of it right now as we will ever be. Amen. Let's thank God for the unshakable kingdom that we are a part of. Things are going to shake around about us, and they are shaking around about us. But we don't need to be worried because we are part of an unshakable kingdom. Praise God.
Amen. About nervous. I haven't done this in many years. I had a scripture come to me while Tony was speaking when he was talking about an unshakable kingdom. Romans 8. This is a very familiar scripture, but it's in this day and time, in this hour, with all that's against God's people, we can trust God. I think I'll start here. What then, verse 31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who died or did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ, through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in the creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God His love covers us, and praise God, we're on the winning side. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God, it's good to be here, isn't it? I was just thinking about how the service started off. I know y'all noticed it, but it was like the Lord was letting Satan know that we're here. Praise God, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? And it immediately took me to Revelation 12, and this is what's unshakable here. It says the war, in verse 7, it says, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. You know, there's a war going on right now. Right here, right now, where we live at today, it's a spiritual battle that's taking place right in our midst. But guess what? We have an opportunity with the Lord on our side to fight back. And who's the winner? We sang the song, we've got the power. Praise God, that power is Jesus Christ, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. He's defeated, isn't he? Praise God. We have something to shout about. I just thank the Lord for that. It says, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. He leads the whole world astray. But praise God, we are on the winning side. We do not have to listen to Satan's lies, do we? God, we are doing God injustice if we're sitting here listening to his lies to us. We are a free people. Praise God. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Praise the Lord for that. They triumphed over him by what? The blood of the Lamb. Praise God. We have the blood of the Lamb today. My God, we have everything we need, don't we? Let's not shrink from the Lord. Let's draw closer to the Lord. Satan would cause us to move away from him, but God would cause us to move towards him. That's our hope, isn't it? Yes. Praise God. It says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. Praise God. He's here. But praise the Lord, God is here too. We're just so blessed, aren't we? Praise the Lord. I just appreciate the Lord tonight.
But I certainly don't have any sermon. I don't even know if I'm going to open the Bible tonight, but I'm going to just refer to some things, thoughts that I had, and scriptures that you know. I'm sort of wrestling with the Lord there as to what he wants me to do with this. But anyway, I appreciate so much the Lord's presence here tonight. Praise God. Amen. You think about the mercy of a living God who would come down and be with people like us. The further I go, the more I look in the mirror and the more I realize what I'm truly made of in myself. And then you think about how amazing he is, and yet he cares about me. And how helpless I am, and all the things that have been said tonight, the certainty of what he has accomplished for us. He did it. Knowing we could do nothing to help ourselves, he did everything that was needed to secure something that was eternal, that could not be shaken, to use that scripture that was referred to. You know, thinking about all these things, and I just thought of some scriptures that came to me in passing, and I'm just going to refer to the early part of Revelation. I don't even think I'm going to open my scriptures, but anyway, you remember the principles involved, where the Lord wrote letters to seven different churches. And there are some themes that apply to every single one of them, even though the need of each church was different. We see, of course, the Lord addressing the need. One thing I see about that the Lord really drew my attention to this the other day. You know, you've got religious movements out there where it's all about doctrine. You've got to get your doctrine right. Well, you know, doctrine can be important. We need truth. There's no question about that. But you can be full of all kinds of true doctrine and have nothing. We need a living Savior who walks with us and who is present in our midst. If we have that, if we don't have that, we might as well turn the lights out and go home. We have nothing but religion. We need a living Savior, and that's the promise. That's his promise, that he would come where he gathers. Says, for two or three are gathered. Some translations don't get that right, but in the Greek, it's are gathered. That means he does the gathering. That's not we decide to do something. That's he sovereignly works with people to bring them together. Where he gathers people together in his name, by his authority, by something that God has instituted, where is he? He is in the midst. That's what's needed in this hour, because we've got a world, as everyone has said, that is getting darker and crazier by the day. But we don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to get our eyes off on that and worry about what's happening. We've been told these things are going to happen. But we've also been told that he is going to be with us to the end of the age, and we don't have anything to be afraid of in that sense. We have the same hope that Paul declared when he said, for to me to live is Christ. In other words, if I'm here, that's what my life is about. And to die, we win. Praise God. That's gain. Praise God. Lord, bring it on. Well, you do your thing in your time, and that's okay with me. I gave up my life a long time ago. It's his to do with as he pleases, and I praise him. I hope that's where you're at tonight, because that's the key. But anyway, the Lord was addressing different needs in these churches. And along with declaring what he had done, the thing that I noticed, again, it's not so much about their doctrine and their practice so much as it's about the Christian life and the quality of their spiritual life. You know, how are you living? How is what I have done for you at the cross being translated into your lives? And you had one church that had it all right, except what? They had lost their first love. You did have some that were... that had gotten into false doctrine, but the false doctrine was something that promoted sinful living. You know, they were promoting sexuality that was outside the plan of God. They were promoting different things, and so that was the error that God was looking for. But what was the problem? It was affecting the life of Christ in his church. It's supposed to be his life. It's supposed to reflect his character. That's what he's reproducing in us. And so every one of them in some fashion called them to that. So it's about life more than it is about doctrine. We need him. But what was the one thing that was consistent in every message that he gave? And it has to do with hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do you get the sense of something immediate? Do you get the sense of a Lord who dwells in our midst, who knows where we're at, what we need at any given moment? And that's the thing that's uppermost on His heart. He wants to address that. He wants to help us at that point of need. There's not a person here who does not have need that we brought into this meeting. If we're still on this journey, we've got needs. I've got bukus of them. But I also got somebody who knows my need and is willing to talk to me if I'm willing to listen. That's why He says, let him hear. That's our part. And I tell you, that's the one thing that we need above all else, is to come in here with a sense, I have needs that I probably don't even know about, let alone the ones I do. And I'm in a world where there are many voices. Every voice that's coming from the intelligence, if you want to call it that, of the devil, the inspiration of the devil, is absolutely to deceive, to sidetrack, to do everything in his power to hinder anything that Christ would do and his influence in our lives. In the midst of that, we have a voice that is willing to come down to where we live in spite of what's wrong with us and talk to us face to face. Do you think that just might be important? Oh, may God give us a heart that says, I have needs, and I have one that is willing to talk to me at that point of need. Oh, God, give me ears to hear. And give me a heart to embrace. And when I say, Lord, speak to me, I don't want to say, Lord, lay your cards on the table. Tell me whatever it is you think I need to hear, and then I'll decide. What God is looking for is a heart that trusts Him to the point that we are saying, I don't care what you say. If you say it, I already agree with it. My life is laid down, Lord. You are the only one that knows how to save me, that has the power to do it and is willing to do it. Lord, I need to hear your voice in the midst of a world that is screaming everything but. Do you think the Lord is interested in that? There were some churches with some pretty severe needs that He addressed, and yet in every one of them let Him hear. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but you know what I'm saying. Everyone, He invited us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And you know the church, the last one was at Laodicea, wasn't it? Now sometimes it was just a word of encouragement they needed. Thank God He knows how to do that. But the last one, there's something about that reminds us of His heart. Because here we know what we're supposed to do. But how does He feel about it? You know, we are prone to look at our circumstances, look at our feelings, where we're at and what's going on in our lives, and somehow project that onto God and imagine, well, this reflects how He feels about me and I'm not in a good place right now. But what does He feel? Because here was a church that was in a bad place. They were lukewarm. They were in a place where of danger, where they could have just slid right off the charts and been out of the kingdom. I mean, there were people that, I'll let the Lord judge that, but I'm just saying they weren't in a good place. And yet here's Jesus. What's His attitude? All right, you guys get straight and I'll come around. Was that His heart? No, there He was. I am here. You've put me in a place where I'm outside. You're so busy with your lives. You've got everything. You're doing everything right on the outside. But you've missed the things that's most important. You don't really have the reality. It's not real to you. And how I feel about it is not to sit there and say, well, you get it straight and I'll talk and we'll talk. He said, I'm here. Listen. My heart is to want to reach out to you. Folks, I don't care where you are at, right here, sitting here tonight, what your need is and how you're feeling about it and how you think that God is looking upon you. But I believe with all my heart that He longs to let you know This is his heart toward you. He's not looking for a reason to toss you out. He is looking for anything that he can that's in you to spark that. Think about what he said. A smoking flax he won't put out. I'm trying to remember the exact quote, but it's something that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament. A bruised reed. There you go. It's a bruised reed. What good is a bruised reed? And yet here's the Lord valuing a bruised reed. Are you a bruised reed tonight? The Lord still cares about you. He is still reaching out. If there's something, if there's any capacity in you, the Lord is reaching. Shouldn't we reach back and say, devil, get out of my way. I don't care what you say. My God loves me. Jesus already demonstrated that on the cross. He gave up everything for me. How can I do anything less than just hand my life over to you and trust you? Let's get all of this junk out of the way, all the smoke, all the lies that the enemy wants to fill our minds with, and realize that we have a God who loves us, who longs to speak to us, and it's not just to educate our minds so that we get all the doctrines right, it's to put his finger on the thing that's going to set us free at that moment in our lives. And even though we're all different in some ways, we're all the same in others. We need to hear, we need to have a heart that longs to hear his voice, and we need to realize he has a voice that longs to speak. He longs to come in and share. He says, open the door, I'll come in, and we'll eat together. He's not talking about physical food. He's talking about the kind that lasts for eternity. He's talking about something that will nourish not just the natural man, but the inward man. Do you need that tonight? I do. He wants you to know how he feels about this. So if there's somebody here who's feel like there's a barrier that's there and you just can't get through, you reach out to the Lord and realize he's the one reaching to you. If you even feel a need, that's him. That's him loving you. Oh, my God, may God open our eyes to hunger for him and to say, the one voice I need to be listening for is his. God, give me the discernment. Give me a heart after that, and everything else will find its place. To him be the glory. I'll tell you, what a Lord we serve. What a hope we have in him. Praise God. Praise God. One of the things he talked about was the names written in heaven. I'm just pulling these things out of a poor memory here, but you remember the different letters that he has. I don't want to go in through all of that, but the simple thought, we need to hear his voice, and he longs to come and meet your particular individual need right here tonight. That's how he feels about you and me. Let's believe it, and let's reach back, and let's just believe him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. I sure appreciate this tonight. It's been an encouragement. I was thinking as the different ones were speaking of the passage we're so familiar with there from Jonah's prayer in Jonah chapter 2. You know, he was in a pretty bad situation, which he pretty much brought on himself, but he was in a low place for sure. But I was just thinking about his prayer there in verse 7 where he says, you know, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And then this is the scripture that came to my mind. He said, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And the King James says it is observed, they that observe lying vanities. When we see these things that are contrary to the word of God and we embrace them and we put stock in them and start putting our faith in that and believing in that, there's a grace that God wants to extend to help us that we can kind of miss out on. But I'm so thankful that he is faithful to remind us of his grace, that it is available and that it is sufficient. And I feel that tonight, that he's doing that for us. And so instead of that, instead of observing that, what was his response? He said, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. That was his testimony. I'm going to get my eyes off of how bad my situation is, because it's pretty bad. But the truth is, God can save out of anything. God can deliver out of anything. He can provide for anything that's needed, because he's God. He can do that. And I was just thinking, man, that's, you know, because that can happen. We can get, you know, our eyes on those things. I mean, they are real. They're in our face, and we do notice them. But God wants us to know he's way bigger than those things. You know, I mean, these are the things that we would Well, I mean, certainly for people who, their faith is in their, maybe it's in their finances. I tell you what, anybody whose faith has been in the stock market lately, their faith has been shaken. Talking about things that can be shaken, if that's what your faith was in, your faith might just have been shaken if it was in your stocks and your 401ks. And, well, I tell you what about, though, if our faith is in the God who took hundreds of thousands of people out into the desert and said, we need food? No problem. There's bread on the ground from heaven. We need water? No problem. Water out of rocks. That's a God who can do that. What about when his people got backed up against the ocean and God said, no problem? It's like we would zoom in on an iPhone. He just went like that and those seas just parted and they walked across. Or the God who told his people, you need to take Jericho. And they said, those are some great big walls. And God said, no problem. Flick. And the walls came down. If that's what our faith is in, if that's what we're observing and putting our stock in, I tell you what, we're on solid ground. And I believe God wants to do that for us, because the truth is we feel these things. We're affected. I thought about, you know, Peter, when the Lord had given him the command to come to him on the water, and he did. But the truth is, Peter saw the winds and the waves, and those were real things. But he was started putting stock in that. And those, in that case, those were those lying vanities Jonah was talking about. Those winds and those waves, they might be a real thing. But next to the simple word from Jesus, come, those winds and waves meant nothing. And I'm so thankful for God's mercy, his grace, because when Peter started to sink, what did he do? He did just like Jonah. Salvation comes to the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. And what did he do? He lifted him up. He picked him up. And I believe that's what he's doing for us here tonight. He said, if you're feeling a little shaken, remember, you're part of a kingdom that can't be shaken. If you're feeling the pressures of these things pressing in, just remember, I want to lift you up out of that. You can be above that because I am. Trust me. Be with me. He's a merciful Savior. Praise God. Salvation comes from the Lord. Praise God.